This is Jay Sekulow in Washington, D.C. The president declares the caravan a national emergency.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
As the caravan, and look, that is an assault on our country. That's an assault. And in that caravan, you have some very bad people. You have some very bad people. And we can't let that happen to our country, and it's not.
Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110.
We have to protect our borders. We don't have borders. We don't have a country. We have to protect our borders.
And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to the broadcast. Well, let me tell you what we've got. What we have is 14... upwards, there's reports indicating anywhere from 7,000 to 14,000 individuals in this caravan that originated in Guatemala, now heading towards or into is already into Mexico. Mexican authorities have said that they're going to try to prevent it. The problem is now the density is so significant. In other words, the number of people are so significant that it's going to present difficulty for the Mexican authorities to deal with. Understand what this is. I mean, with all compassion to people trying to flee their country of origin, and there's women and children there, I see all of that. Here is the problem. This is a direct assault on national security. You can't just have people come in a caravan and put them through with no process. And we don't have the capabilities to handle 14,000 or 7,000 people at one time. So understand what this is. This is an orchestrated move in an effort to basically create a crisis on the border. Andy Economo, our senior counsel, is with me here in Washington, D.C. Andy, what's your reaction to this?
Well, my reaction to it is great alarm, and I think the president's statement that it is a national emergency is absolutely correct. We have seen hordes of people crossing borders through the centuries. It's something that is not anything unusual. The migrations, the vast migrations that took place, for example, in the 5th century in Europe included thousands and thousands of people. And you don't know what the constitution or the makeup of this group is, what comprises it. As the president says last night, there are a lot of bad people that are in this group. There may be children who are not really the children, legitimate children of the person who is next to them, but maybe being brought into the United States to be sold into sex slavery. We don't know. We don't have the capacity to regulate this influx of people in the vast quantities that are coming in, and we have to really see it as the national emergency that it is.
Well, I think the president was right in declaring this a national emergency because you've got a couple of things that have happened here, and that includes, and I think we've got to be crystal clear on this, you've got a situation where the caravan, which began on October 13th in Honduras, passed through Guatemala before entering Mexico on its way to the United States. And I'm going to go to Professor Hutchinson from a policy standpoint. So, Harry, let's talk for a moment here about what that policy should be.
Well, the first point is that we should defend not only our borders, but we should defend the rule of law. So the quintessential question becomes, will Mexico do anything to stop the caravan? That's number one. And number two, will Democrats continue to dodge this assault on America's borders and the rule of law? And so those are the two questions that are outstanding. I think in this vacuum, if you will, in terms of leadership from Mexico and the Democrats, the burden falls on the Trump administration to enforce the rule of law, and I have confidence that they will do it.
But, you know, you also want to avoid any kind of armed conflict here. I mean, this is that would be a disaster.
Absolutely.
And that would not be the right way to do that. So we've got to figure, we'll do this after the break, folks. We'll take your calls at 1-800-684-3110. Let me go to quickly here, really quick, to Wes Smith, Colonel Smith. So, Wes, what's your initial reaction to this?
Yeah, well, what is happening, Jay, what we're witnessing is the lack of an effective domestic policy vis-a-vis immigration reform is creating a true national security issue because of the lack of reform and lack of border security. And it does have serious implications.
No question about it. All right, we're going to take your calls. 1-800-684-3110. A national security emergency on our borders. A caravan of people on their way to the United States, no possible way to process that amount of people. Is it going to be a rush to the border? We don't know. We'll take your calls at 800-684-3110.
It's a critical time for our nation and for the world. With so many challenges facing our country, the work of the American Center for Law and Justice has never been more important than right now. At the ACLJ, we're engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family. Defending human life, standing up for our good friend Israel, working to uncover the deep state, the massive corruption in Washington, battling to end the genocide of Christians in many parts of the world, and a firm commitment to back constitutional efforts to protect our country from radical Islamic terrorists. You can learn more about the mission and work of the ACLJ online at aclj.org. There's not a better time to stand with the ACLJ, become a member, and make a difference as we work to protect your constitutional and religious freedoms. You can become a member of the ACLJ online. Sign up right now, aclj.org. It's a historic move. Now the United States has moved its embassy in Israel from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, Israel's true capital. The state of Israel and its very right to exist is a linchpin issue not only in the Middle East, but represents a critical issue to the world at large. Israel is facing unprecedented challenges. Enemies abound. ISIS, Hamas, Hezbollah, and Iran all pledge to wipe Israel from the face of the earth. In his new book, New York Times bestselling author Jay Sekulow presents a powerful political and historical rationale for the existence of Israel as a sovereign nation. Jerusalem, a biblical and historical case for the Jewish capital, presents clear, irrefutable evidence to remove any doubt about Israel's right to exist. And the book dispels legal myths purported by Israel's enemies. Get your copy today, Jerusalem, a Biblical and Historical Case for the Jewish Capital. Available now at Amazon or Barnes & Noble.
Some call it a caravan, some call it an attempt at an invasion. Let me tell you what the president has said.
We want people to come into our country. We have a 3.7% unemployment. It's the lowest it's been in more than 50 years. But they have to come in legally, and they have to come in through merit, through merit.
So that's what the president said. He's declared it basically a national emergency. But there's an interesting issue here, and I want to point this out. We had an interesting comment come in on Facebook that I wanted to have met Wes address, because he made this point already, and that is Susie on Facebook said, how can the Mexican authorities deal with a caravan of this size? And Susie, go ahead, Wes. I think what you said is really important.
Yeah, well, they sent down 500 Mexican federal police to try and stop them at the southern border of Mexico, and they were incapable of doing that. What's going to happen if this crowd of people, thousands of people, are allowed to come to our border, as our own border patrol is overwhelmed, and they will be. The drug cartels and the human traffickers who use our porous border on a daily basis, they will take advantage of this distraction with our border patrol being, overpowered and distracted, and they will use other crossings to continue their drug trade and to continue the human trafficking that goes on there. So they will take full advantage of our own border patrol being overwhelmed. There's no way the present border agents we have can handle a crowd of this size.
So, Harry, let me ask you this. We're going to take some calls in a moment here, but let's talk about a policy standpoint. What do you do if you're the president of the United States and the governors of these states on the border if there is a rush to the border?
Well, first,
which there may well be.
First, whatever the administration does and whatever the state governors do must be done in a carefully calibrated and morally defensible manner. At the same time, the overall objective ought to be to defend our borders. It's important to note that defending America's borders used to be a bipartisan activity. America's borders were strongly defended in the past by President Obama, by Secretary of State Hillary Clinton, but today it seems like there is only one party that is interested in protecting the American people from an invasion of individuals, which includes drug smuggling and human smuggling and human trafficking.
I'm sorry, Harry. The last thing that we want to see is a mass brutal slaughter at the border. That's the last vision in my mind, and the terrifying vision that I see of something like that is something that we don't want to see fire opening up on these people, because some of them are legitimate asylum seekers.
And they're being used by others.
And they're being manipulated. This is a manipulation of the governments of these countries, and that's the last thing that we want to see. But it is border control that is absolutely necessary. How do you do that? And in this very challenging wave that you see coming in is the question yet to be answered.
All right, let's go ahead and take a phone call. We've got Robert calling from Detroit, Michigan, on line one. Hi, Robert.
Hey, how you doing? You know, this looks like Trump, LBJ Vietnam. You know, I mean, every president has a crisis. If somebody gets hurt, it's going to be all over. And, you know, the reason why Guatemala and Mexico and everybody can't stop these people is because the very reason why, you know, all of our police stand down. Because, you know, somebody's going to get hurt. And so, you know,
Here's the problem, Robert. The problem is, and I think it's what Andy said is right. You cannot authorize, I mean, unless there was firearms coming at you, you're not going to authorize firearm approach here. So, I mean, I don't know. And this is a very serious political issue. It is a very serious human issue. It's a very serious national security issue. That is what we're looking at here. And Wes, when you look at, you know, you had to deal with this in the military. When you went to border regions, you know, most countries are pretty tough on the border. We haven't been. But this is going to, as the president said, it is a national emergency already, because it's almost like an approaching, they call it a caravan, whatever you get. Just imagine 14,000 people, if that's the right number. Some of the Mexican media sources are saying, where the UN is saying 7,000, Mexican media sources are saying 14,000. But that could be very dangerous and very hard to deal with.
Yeah, absolutely. It is a national security issue for the reasons you just mentioned. Also, it is a fact that out of the tens of thousands of people that are intercepted crossing the border illegally, and those are only the ones that the Border Patrol catches, hundreds of them every year are also from the Middle East, and they pass themselves off as being Hispanic. And, you know, the president, in saying this is a national emergency, has said he's going to send the military. I'm assuming by that he means the active duty forces to that border region.
So tell us what that would mean. What would that look like, Wes? I'll call you Colonel Smith when we talk about the military. What does that look like, Colonel Smith?
Well, you know, his critics will say, well, he can't do that because of the Posse Comitatus Act of 1878. That act was at the end of Reconstruction following the American Civil War. The act is very clear. It says you cannot use federal military to enforce domestic laws and policies. But by the president, I think rightfully seeing this as a national security issue, it's no longer a domestic issue. It's a matter of protecting our borders, protecting the homeland. So I think he can be justified, if he chooses to do this, in sending active duty military troops to the border. But then the question becomes, as you alluded to, Jay, what do you do with them? We are not going to authorize, it would be a horrible thing to authorize, and it won't happen, to use live fire against people trying to cross the border illegally. And yet at the same time, you put soldiers on that border. The border is a violent region. Border Patrol agents are routinely attacked, many of them killed from time to time. So are you going to put U.S. soldiers without ammunition on the border to stop them from crossing, and at the same time put those same soldiers' lives at risk? There is not a good answer as far as how to handle this.
Let me go to Kim, who's calling from Arizona. She's online too. Hi, Kim.
Hi, how you doing? Thanks for taking my call.
Good.
My
sure.
question is it true that the catch and release program is going to allow the women with their children to automatically become able to come into the country?
You're talking about through this caravan?
Yeah.
Yeah, so I don't think we know the answer to that. I don't know what the... I'm sure they're looking. I know what's happening. I mean, we all know what's happening. They're looking at, Andy, here you have various scenarios. You want to stay away from anything that looks like armed conflict. But I'm very sympathetic for people in plight and people that are fleeing bad situations. But if you don't have an orderly, legal approach to this, like the way my grandfather came in, you end up with anarchy and 14,000 people or 7,000 people rushing the border. I mean, it's going to be a horrific situation. I don't like the way I'm trying to see how does that play. I'm not talking about politics. How does that help anybody in this situation?
Well, it doesn't. I mean, it's just unthinkable. And as Wes was alluding to, we're not down there to start shooting people and slaughtering masses of people, but we want to protect our Border Patrol agents and our military. And suppose the horrible scenario occurs that there is fire from the horde that is coming. Is fire to be returned? We don't know the answer to that. Is our military and border patrol to be protected? Then fire would have to be returned. If fire is initiated, fire would have to be returned. That would be a terrible scenario. But this is not the kind of immigration that brought your grandparents, Jay, and from Eastern Europe and mine from Southern Europe into this country in the teens and the 20s of the last century.
So, Harry, let's go back on the policy issue. So if I'm talking to you as Professor Hutchinson, how do you handle what could be an imminent, I think there's still, it's not going to be, it's going to be days and days and days till they get there. They only can move a certain amount of miles a day. But what do you do?
Well, one thing that you should consider, but this will not necessarily result in an immediate stoppage of the caravan, we should consider measures to bring pressure on the Central American governments. And one of the things that we need to investigate is how successful such pressure might be going forward, particularly with respect to Mexico. We have just signed a new trade deal with Mexico and Canada. That particular agreement, the text of which has not been fully released, I don't know if there are provisions going forward that will help us out. But that does not deal with the immediate concern. And so the other issue to be considered, of course, is to bring additional administrative law judges down to the American border so that we can expeditiously separate out individuals who have a legitimate asylum request from those who are simply, if you will, economic migrants and those that are indeed criminals.
But how do you do that with, how do you do that, Harry, with 14,000 people coming in almost simultaneously?
Well, I think it's going to be extremely difficult and extremely challenging, and I think it's going to be, to some extent, it's going to fall on the United States military and Border Patrol.
Andy, let me give me a 20-second here. There's obviously political motivations behind this. I'm not talking about the people walking here, but people organizing this. But this is a very difficult situation.
It's a terrible situation. It's a horrible situation. It's a situation in which we have not seen the likes of this, Jay, until since the Great Migrations in Western Europe. I'm telling you, it's been this bad since the early Middle Ages. To see masses and hordes of people threatening the border of a sovereign country, tearing down the fences as they go of other countries who are unable or willing to stop them.
All right, we're going to come back from the break. Take your calls at 800-684-3110.
It's a historic move. Now the United States has moved its embassy in Israel from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, Israel's true capital. The state of Israel and its very right to exist is a linchpin issue not only in the Middle East, but represents a critical issue to the world at large. Israel is facing unprecedented challenges. Enemies abound. ISIS, Hamas, Hezbollah, and Iran all pledge to wipe Israel from the face of the earth. In his new book, New York Times bestselling author Jay Sekulow presents a powerful political and historical rationale for the existence of Israel as a sovereign nation. Jerusalem, a biblical and historical case for the Jewish capital, presents clear, irrefutable evidence to remove any doubt about Israel's right to exist. And the book dispels legal myths purported by Israel's enemies. Get your copy today, Jerusalem, a Biblical and Historical Case for the Jewish Capital. Available now at Amazon or Barnes & Noble. It has been our mission for nearly 30 years. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. Because of the many ACLJ members who stand with us, we've seen great success over the years as we engage in legal, legislative, and cultural issues that matter most to you and your families. The ACLJ is on the front lines when it comes to protecting your freedoms, defending Christians and their faith in this country and abroad, standing up for human life, battling big abortion, and working to cut off taxpayer funding of Planned Parenthood. There's not a better time for you to join the American Center for Law and Justice. By standing with us, you can make a tremendous difference in our country and our culture and the ongoing fight for freedom. Become an ACLJ member today. It's easy to do. Just go online, sign up at aclj.org.
Hi, everybody. Welcome back to the broadcast. Taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110. In the studio with me now is Stuart Roth, Senior Counsel for the ACLJ. We've got Wes and also Harry in our media center. I gave a report on where they are. It's about 2,200 miles from the U.S. California, kind of the San Diego-Tijuana border, and about 1,100 miles from the, they're in southern Mexico right now, from the nearest U.S. border crossing in Texas. But, Stuart, this does raise, I mean, I talked about what's at stake here. This is a big deal.
Well, we're not talking about it. Excuse me. We're not talking about immigration. We're talking about people coming into the country illegally. Now, as part of this caravan, we know there's a human condition. Listen, there are a lot of people in these countries that they can't support themselves. There's no jobs. There's no food. There's no medical care. There's no education. You know, these governments bear the responsibility for that. But in this group of people that are coming into these countries illegally, we have criminals, we have drug dealers, we have all sorts of individuals that don't need to be part of what's going on here in the United States, and therefore there is a system that's set up.
But a system can't handle 14,000 people.
It cannot handle 14,000 people. It's not set up for that. And these governments on the south of us, they need to control their borders.
What people are not thinking about, I hope they are, is that we have, look, I'm in favor, as you know, for comprehensive immigration reform. My goodness, I'm the second generation in my family born in the United States. But having said that, you got to have an orderly approach to it. Or let me tell you who's being penalized. All the people that are lawfully waiting in line for immigration status into the United States. I mean, let's not ignore them either. And I don't want to see a disaster on the border, which I'm afraid is what we're looking at here. But, I mean, this is the reality of what we have. All right, let's go back to the phones. 1-800-684-3110. Rosie is calling from Los Angeles on line 5.
Hi,
Rosie.
Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
Well, my parents were actually immigrants. My parents came across illegally, and we paid all the things we had to pay, and we made our parents legal. But one thing that a lot of people do not understand, with my family, this is a hot subject, and people don't understand that a lot of the people that have been deported were criminals, gang members that were terrorizing our streets. And what's going to happen is all those people are going to take advantage of this caravan and are going to come in. I know that number that they're saying is a lowball number, because if you look at the Mexican news outlet, it is a
yes.
lot of people that are going to try to come in. And
well, and the Mexican, by the way, just to jump in for a second, then I'll let you finish, Rosie. The Mexican media is reporting the numbers closer to 14,000. You there?
Yes.
Okay. You're right. It's a big number. This is what the president had to say. Let's play number 4.
As the caravan, and look, that is an assault on our country. That's an assault. And in that caravan, you have some very bad people. You have some very bad people. And we can't let that happen to our country, and it's not. And I was just talking to your great governor and senators, and you were talking about your attorney general, who I'm going to be introducing in a second, but I'm talking to a lot of your people, and they're going to form a wall, different kind of a wall, until we get the other one built.
Yeah, man, Harry, let's talk about this from a policy standpoint. What is the reality of what can be done here? I mean, you can't just have 14,000 people pour over, because they're going to it's a disaster. I mean, it becomes a country of no laws or rules. I don't know what groups on the political left are saying, but this does not help the debate for immigration reform.
You're absolutely correct. And most of the voices on the left have been utterly silent. But it's also important to remember that earlier this year, another caravan commenced, and only 20% of those individuals reached the American border in California. And so if we find a similar percentage with respect to the 14,000, it's possible, and I don't know this for a fact, but it's possible that the number might be diminished down to 2,000 to 3,000. That's still a large number, but that number would indeed be more manageable. But if we go back to the policy debate, the policy debate, at least at this particular point in time, has become one-sided. As I mentioned earlier, it used to be that there was a bipartisan consensus on immigration and protecting our borders. That bipartisan consensus has utterly disappeared. And so it's very, very important to think about that in terms of what's going to happen over the next 2 to 3 weeks in terms of the midterm elections, in terms of what do the American people believe should be done going forward. And so that they need to be brought into this conversation as well.
Well, I think the American people need to be educated that we have systems, and we have systems for a reason. If they saw the forms that individuals have to fill out to come to this country, they'd understand the country is protecting them. They're protecting them from people that come into this country that may have criminal records. They're protecting Americans from people that come into this country that have no means to support themselves. So there's a system for a reason. It's been in place for an awful long time. You know, we're concerned about the humanitarian issues in all these countries, and we have a lot of compassion towards those individuals. However, there still is a system that needs to be respected. Nobody has a right, Jay, to just come into America and just set up camp. You shouldn't have that right in any country. A country is defined by its borders.
A country that's also defined by the rule of law, which this is violating. Candy's calling from Las Vegas, Nevada. Hi, Candy, you're on the air.
Yes, hi, Jay. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
You know, I have a few issues going on here. I've been watching this for the last year, actually, and there's a lot of, and I know they're coming in from California side and Texas side. There's a lot of ranchers on those sides. Now, what I'm going to say, it may sound inhumane to some people, but that's not my theory at all. My theory on this is so that nobody gets shot or killed, heaven forbid, there's a lot of ranchers in California and there's a lot of ranchers in Texas. Why can't we have a few days before they reach these destinations? Why can't we take, and I don't know if you know anything about cattle prodding or anything like that.
No, we're not going to look. We're not going to do that. I mean, because we're the United States of America, so we don't do that. I mean, that's not the way you handle this. We have got to utilize. See, what people are ignoring here is the diplomatic efforts that need to be going on, and I'm sure are going on right now. I was just at the State Department on Pastor Brunson's matter, but I could assure you, I mean, I did not discuss this with anybody, but you know there are diplomatic efforts going on right now with our partners, whether it's in Mexico, with the counterparts at the State Department. This is a national emergency, but we don't round people. We got to protect the border, and I wish I could give you the answer on what to do. We're not doing. I mean, I completely think that the last call was I didn't even like where that was going, and I think the reality is that what we need to have happen here is we've got a look. This is going to impact world opinion on the United States too. Let's not be naive. Let's be smart, okay? Let's be smart. It's a 7,000 to 14,000 person problem. That's significant. They are still thousands of miles away from the United States. We need to be working with our governments in the region to get control of this before we have a confrontation with Mexican authorities over this, because we did just sign a trade deal with them. So there's a lot of things that can take place here. All right, we're here for another 30 minutes. If you don't get the full hour of the broadcast, just go over to aclj.org. You can also, of course, listen on Facebook and Periscope. Back with more in a moment.
It's a critical time for our nation and for the world. With so many challenges facing our country, the work of the American Center for Law and Justice has never been more important than right now. At the ACLJ, we're engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family. Become a member and make a difference as we work to protect your constitutional and religious freedoms. You can become a member of the ACLJ online. Sign up right now, aclj.org.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live. And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
So here's what we have. The president has announced that he has alerted the Border Patrol and the military that the caravan heading to the southern border is, quote, a national emergency. That number of people involved ranges from 7,000. That's what the domestic news outlets are reporting here. But outlets in Mexico are saying upwards of 14,000. So it is a significant issue. There is also a concern, I think a legitimate one, at both the, you can be sympathetic to the humanitarian crisis, which I get, and I, but you don't know who else is in these caravans. I mean, it's 14,000 people. I mean, Wes, you said it earlier. I think it's important to say it again. What could be going on here from your experience in the military?
Yeah, as our people on the border right now, Border Patrol agents, as they are overwhelmed and distracted, the human traffickers and the drug cartels will use this opportunity to go to other places along the border to ply their trade and to cross illegally. You know, Jay, looking at this whole situation, it is a shame that it has come to this. And you know me, I'm not a Democrat or a Republican, but because the Democrats will not work with the GOP on really meaningful immigration reform, what the Dems would rather do, they want to opportunistically use it as a political weapon instead of solving the problem. The problem could be solved with a border wall and with border security. And by having those two things in place, you actually protect people who are coming across the border. This is a humanitarian crisis because of the failure of having immigration reform and a secure border. And it's a shame that the people coming to this border are in the plight that they're in. It's a shame that we have not done more as a country to fix this issue.
I'll tell you something else here, and I'd say this. There are people that are legally trying to get immigration status in the United States of America right now and understand from a policy standpoint how this taxes our capacity, Harry.
Absolutely. And so one of the things to keep in mind is the overall need for immigration reform, and it needs to be a bipartisan effort, one that includes the American people. In addition, as you mentioned earlier, we need to step up our diplomatic efforts in the short run, and we should notify countries that currently contain migrants that their unwillingness to stop the migration right now will have long-term consequences
Yep.
on our relationship with those governments, including Guatemala, Honduras, and Mexico, and perhaps El Salvador. So I think you're absolutely correct, Jay.
Well, I want to follow up, Jay, on what Harry just said, because Guatemala, Honduras, El Salvador, Mexico, these governments need to start taking care of their citizens. You know, they get billions and billions of dollars in funding from the United States, from the United Nations, from all sorts of agencies for these types of purposes. And so often, Jay, in these third world countries, that money is looted. It's stolen by the leadership. And like Nikki Haley said when she was at the UN, you know, we need to stop giving money to these countries that vote against us, that spend our money in ways that are unlawful, that steal it. It's supposed to go to the people. So this humanitarian crisis is being generated by these countries that aren't taking care of their people. So that's why we have the caravans. We need the wall, but we need these countries to step to the plate.
I don't think there's any question about it. Look, I mean, here's the reality of what we've got. There's no one that's on this broadcast that's not sympathetic with the plight of people coming out of these countries that cannot take care of their own people, that are misusing the resources that are given to them. Having said that, you can't have 14,000 people or 7,000, whatever the number ends up actually being, rushing the borders of the United States and just open them up. Because you, as Wes said, I mean, you don't know who's in there. And it also, I want people to be thinking about the impact that that decision would have if you look at the people that are actually going through the system for legal immigration. And that's part of the problem here. So you've got to weigh all of this. Now, everybody wants to avoid a conflict on the border. And I understand that. We've got to avoid a conflict on the border. But we've got to figure out a way, too, that we cannot just be invaded by people we don't know who they are and have gone through no process. There has to be a process to this. And this is not going to allow a process to move forward. So I'm sure the State Department and the Homeland Security are all working on this, but this is a real problem. We'll be back with more in just
It's a critical time for our nation and for the world. With so many challenges facing our country, the work of the American Center for Law and Justice has never been more important than right now. At the ACLJ, we're engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family. Defending human life. Standing up for our good friend Israel. Working to uncover the deep state, the massive corruption in Washington. Battling to end the genocide of Christians in many parts of the world. And a firm commitment to back constitutional efforts to protect our country from radical Islamic terrorists. You can learn more about the mission and work of the ACLJ online at aclj.org. There's not a better time to stand with the ACLJ. Become a member and make a difference as we work to protect your constitutional and religious freedoms. You can become a member of the ACLJ online. Sign up right now, aclj.org. It's a historic move. Now the United States has moved its embassy in Israel from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, Israel's true capital. The state of Israel and its very right to exist is a linchpin issue not only in the Middle East, but represents a critical issue to the world at large. Israel is facing unprecedented challenges. Enemies abound. ISIS, Hamas, Hezbollah, and Iran all pledge to wipe Israel from the face of the earth. In his new book, New York Times bestselling author Jay Sekulow presents a powerful political and historical rationale for the existence of Israel as a sovereign nation. Jerusalem, a biblical and historical case for the Jewish capital, presents clear, irrefutable evidence to remove any doubt about Israel's right to exist. And the book dispels legal myths purported by Israel's enemies. Get your copy today, Jerusalem, a Biblical and Historical Case for the Jewish Capital. Available now at Amazon or Barnes & Noble.
Alice on Facebook asked a good question. What would it mean for the military to be sent to the border? Wes, Colonel Smith?
Well, I understand the president's motivation, and because this is a national security issue, sending active duty troops to the border is fraught with a lot of risk because you cannot expect U.S. service personnel to not be able to defend themselves. The border is inherently violent, and there are a lot of things that go on down there. Border agents are attacked. Sometimes they're killed. And so are you going to put soldiers there without weapons? Well, what if they get attacked? So if they have weapons, you don't want them to open fire on innocent people. As I mentioned during one of our breaks, we have a much better relationship with the Mexican government right now. We just signed this new trade agreement. If somehow or another, because it is a national border crisis, it's a national security issue, if we could somehow, since the federales in Mexico say they are overwhelmed, if we could deploy active duty troops away from the border into Mexico to assist with crowd control, then you wouldn't have as great a threat of violence against the military.
But you'd have to get the Mexican government to allow that, correct?
Absolutely. They'd have to allow it, but we could do it as a goodwill gesture. And that
has that happened before?
Not that I'm aware of,
Jay. Where another government would let our troops in to help?
Well, and in Europe, it happened a lot over the years. It's never happened with Mexico and didn't need to happen with Canada. But that would keep our soldiers away from the violent border region and yet assist the Mexican government, not only in crowd control, but also in rendering aid, food, and water to these people as well.
All right, let me go ahead and go back to the phones. 1-800-684-3110. Gloria is calling from California. Hi, Gloria.
Hi, Jay. What you were just speaking of, that was kind of what I was going to say, is maybe we could send some of our agents down to Mexico to help with the borders down there. That way, it keeps these people from reaching our borders in Texas and California. And that was going along the lines of what you were just saying. Would we consider doing that? And I don't know.
I think it's going to be, I was just going to talk to Andy about this. So it's a great question, Gloria. I mean, here's part of the issue. And that is, I'm sure there are diplomatic efforts going on right now to say, what is the Mexican authorities willing to do to help on this? But again, part of this is going to be up to what is the Mexican government going to allow the United States to do to avoid a clash at the border. I think if you were looking for the goal right now, what you'd be looking at on a regional basis and right on the border is avoid a clash at the border.
Exactly correct, Jay. We don't want the border to become a slaughterhouse. We want that to be anticipated before. If the Mexican government would agree for American troops or American border agents or patrol agents to go into Mexican territory first and to stop the caravan, if what you want to call it a caravan, the horde, the mob, from reaching the border in an orderly fashion, providing them with the shelter, with the food, the clothing, the water and other supplies that they need while they're still in Mexico, then that would avoid and avert a potentially very bloody clash at the United States border. That should be avoided at all costs.
So you ask this question, when you look at the numbers of people that are going, and the estimates right now are around 7,200. That's the domestic estimates. There are reports from media sources in Mexico saying it's maybe more like 14,000. But the problem here is you got Guatemala, Honduras, and El Salvador have allowed this to happen. Now Mexico's thrust in the middle of it when we just worked out a trade arrangement with them, so relations are good. So I think the intervention has to take place before the border incident. You want to avoid a border incident, so intervention, Harry, has to take place earlier, and that's where the diplomatic channels come in, and you're working with the Mexican government.
I think that's absolutely correct. So first, I think we should look at the long-term incentives that we create if we open the border to mass, unvetted migration by individuals from Central America. That clearly has consequences, negative consequences for the United States, and it could propel additional caravans in the future. That's number one. Number two, at the same time, we should be prepared to incentivize the Honduran, El Salvadorian, Mexican, and Guatemalan governments, and we should send a clear and unmistakable message to them that if they fail to take action to stem the flow of migrants, that there will indeed be consequences. So what we need is something that is sadly missing at this particular point in time, and that is international cooperation and collaboration on this issue. It's clear beyond question that many of the migrants, they are in dire circumstances. They Yep. indeed need help. We are prepared to help, but we are prepared to help those individuals in the countries where they currently reside or where they are currently traveling. But if those countries fail to work with us, there should indeed be long-term consequences with respect to America's relationship with those countries.
Well, the president, I mean, said as much. I mean, that, you know, this idea that we're giving out all this aid and it's not going to the people and you result in something like this. But I'm going to go back to this kind of my theme for the rest of this broadcast, and that is, Wes, I think the intervention has to take place here before you have a border confrontation.
Yeah, absolutely. You want to keep U.S. troops safe while they're also, you know, bringing some semblance of security to the border. The best way to do that is to get them off of the border. If you have to use the military, and if, quite frankly, Jade, there are not enough police or Border Patrol agents to handle this crowd, we're going to have to be creative in our thinking. And I think the president, thinking about using the military, is thinking outside the box, and that's good. But I would not put military people on the border. Work through diplomatic channels with Mexico. Allow us to go in to help them not only with crowd control, but with humanitarian assistance. Our military, they're good at that. They do it all the time. Keep the crisis away from the border is the only way to defuse this, in my opinion.
John on Facebook wrote, "This isn't an easy issue. It's complicated. Thank you for being nuanced and starting the conversation on how to handle this difficult situation." Well, I think you do have to be nuanced, but I'm going back to our theme. The ACLJ's position is to try to avoid a border confrontation. There's no win in a border confrontation.
No,
for the people trying to seek refuge, nor for the United States.
Border confrontation means potential slaughter, and I mean that. I'm not saying this hyperbolically or exaggerating about it, but a border confrontation between a crowd of 7,000 to 14,000 people and armed United States troops means that a spark of something could go on that would result in a slaughter that would be horrendous for all people concerned, including America, including the migrants, including everybody that is involved in this. And it would be a sad and terrible commentary and episode in American history if that were permitted to occur.
Here's what the vice president said, Mike Pence, number 15.
This is unconscionable for us to continue to allow this to occur. But the way we can end it, as the president's made clear, is to have a Congress that is willing to not only fund a wall, secure our border, but to close the loopholes the human traffickers and violent gang members use to entice people to make the long and dangerous journey up the peninsula.
Well, I don't know if we're on or not. We've apparently lost audio on our end. I'm assuming that we had Mike Pence's conversation there. But what I think that's clear, what Mike is saying is, you talk about the border security and a border wall. I think that's great. But the reality is that that is not going to happen today, Andy.
No, it's not. It's not going to happen today. It's going to be something that is a long-term consequence and something that we definitely have to address, because I think that, as I said before, we do not want a confrontation, and I think what you said, the ACLJ's position is that we have the intervention before it reaches the border, before it reaches crisis proportions and crisis dimensions. And that's what occurs. And I think the president has said, I don't know that the last time that it can be said that we have faced a national emergency of this caliber, of this quality, a low quality, terrible quality, the invasions, and I keep going back to historical precedent when we talk about invasions that have occurred in history. No invasion that has incurred in history that has been unmitigated, that has had no control, has ever had good consequences.
Harry, what is the first and best thing that can be done right now?
Well, first, we should be negotiating, and I'm sure that we are, with those countries that we've talked about previously. I think Wesley's absolutely correct. We do not want to see the border situation become a crisis, because if it becomes a crisis, then it's a no-win situation for the United States, and it's a no-win situation for the migrants. So we should use every arrow in our quiver to make sure that we stem the flow before it reaches our border. That should be our number one objective. Longer term, we need to reform immigration laws, and we also need to recalibrate our relationship with Central American countries based on their response to America's interest.
Well, I think these are great points. I'm going to go back to what I said at the outset. It's kind of the position that we're advocating here, is there needs to be an intervention before we have a border confrontation. So whether that's through diplomatic channels or whatever is done, to help the Mexican authorities get control of the situation, we need to avoid a border confrontation. That's not good for the United States, not good for the migrants, not good for the people seeking asylum. Back with more in a moment.
It's a historic move. Now the United States has moved its embassy in Israel from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, Israel's true capital. The state of Israel and its very right to exist is a linchpin issue not only in the Middle East, but represents a critical issue to the world at large. Israel is facing unprecedented challenges. Enemies abound. ISIS, Hamas, Hezbollah, and Iran all pledge to wipe Israel from the face of the earth. In his new book, New York Times bestselling author Jay Sekulow presents a powerful political and historical rationale for the existence of Israel as a sovereign nation. Jerusalem, a biblical and historical case for the Jewish capital, presents clear, irrefutable evidence to remove any doubt about Israel's right to exist. And the book dispels legal myths purported by Israel's enemies. Get your copy today, Jerusalem, a Biblical and Historical Case for the Jewish Capital. Available now at Amazon or Barnes & Noble. It has been our mission for nearly 30 years. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. Because of the many ACLJ members who stand with us, we've seen great success over the years as we engage in legal, legislative, and cultural issues that matter most to you and your families. The ACLJ is on the front lines when it comes to protecting your freedoms, defending Christians and their faith in this country and abroad. standing up for human life, battling big abortion, and working to cut off taxpayer funding of Planned Parenthood. There's not a better time for you to join the American Center for Law and Justice. By standing with us, you can make a tremendous difference in our country and our culture, and the ongoing fight for freedom. Become an ACLJ member today. It's easy to do. Just go online, sign up at aclj.org.
So everybody's acknowledging that this is a really tough issue, but I will tell you this. It is a tough issue, but we got to think through this and be very strategic and very careful on how we engage it. My position is we should be doing everything, and I'm sure we are, right now to avoid a confrontation at the border. And that means intervening now with Mexican authorities or Guatemala and Honduras, Venezuela, wherever the individuals are coming from or where they are now, to see if you can contain it and get humanitarian aid to them where they are rather than having a confrontation on the U.S.-Mexican border, which serves no one's interest, including those seeking to come to the United States. So that's my position on this. All right, we're going to go back to the phones at 1-800-684-3110, 1-800-684-3110. Alan, go ahead. You're on the phone. You're on the air.
Jay, thanks. Look, you've already given the solution a few minutes ago. We have the rule of law. And when you want to do an intervention, we simply inform the people, not the governments, the people coming toward this border, that our laws say you cannot enter illegally. Use armed troops, because we want to protect them. They won't fire. They're well-trained, seasoned troops. And tell the people, if you enter the country illegally, you will be arrested, you will be photographed, you'll be biometrically, whether it's fingerprinted, whatever, and you will never...
Yeah, but you can't. Do you know what the problem... Go ahead, Alan, go ahead.
Wait. You never enter the United States again. That's the penalty for breaking our laws.
I get all of that, but I'm telling you, I'm going to go to Wes Smith on this. With 14,000 people hitting your border within, let's say, a couple of hours, or even if it's, I don't know how do we have a length, Will, of how far from the front of the caravan to the back, what's the time differential when people reach that point?
There are a few waves, but it's miles.
Okay, so you're going to have these, so it's not days in length, it's miles in length. Is that what you're saying? So what I'm trying to figure out is what is the number of people? So you're going to have multiple waves of this, and this puts just a tremendous amount of pressure on the border. Go ahead, Wes.
Yeah, and they're not only walking. Many of them are being given rides by people in trucks and cars and what have you. Yeah, and, you know, it's one of these things that we really need to go in and be proactive about this and go, if the Mexican government will allow us to do it, to go on the other side of the border to help them out. This has the potential to be really, really ugly if it gets to the U.S. border. What I'm amazed at, Jay, is that you know, think about national security, and that's the hammer that I use all the time. But if you took terrorism and the threat of terrorism of people crossing our border illegally, that's a big deal. I mean, a few years ago, we could not imagine people using box cutters to hijack airliners. We are not really understanding the threat of a porous border, how that people who wish to not only do us harm, but to topple our government can come through with weapons of mass destruction, for example, across the border. But take that out of the picture, terrorism. Take the drug cartels out of the picture. If for no other reason than the human trafficking issue, the Democrats should come together with their Republican counterparts, have meaningful border security, immigration reform, build the wall, because the human trafficking, I think, is the moral blight that is in the center of all of this.
I agree. Benjamin's calling from Texas on line one. Hi, Benjamin.
Hello.
Yes, sir.
Hello. Yes, this is Benjamin from Texas. How can we help Mexico separate this massive group into smaller, more manageable groups?
Well, that's a great question. So one of the things I was asking our producer, if they're talking about waves. The question is, from the beginning of this, when it would hit the border in the United States to the end, how long of a period of time is? And we don't have a clear answer on that right now. Is it days? Or is it ours? We don't know. It doesn't appear that we know that information yet because we don't know how it's... But I think it's the intervention before it gets there, Andy.
That's the whole idea, is to prevent it from becoming a mob scene at the United States border, where you have this potentially disastrous slaughterhouse of a clash between these migrants, if you want to give them a charitable denomination, and the sovereignty of the United States. As the president says, we've got to have border control, and we've got to, if we're going to be a country, if we're going to be a nation, we have to have borders, and we have to respect those borders. The challenge here is, what do you do when you have 7,000 to 14,000 people clambering along in a 1,000-mile line? This is how long they've taken to get here. 2,200 miles away. Some say they have now reached a point of they're still 1,000 miles away from the border, but they continue to move, and they continue to mass as they move. The mass gets bigger. The mass gets bigger. Therefore, you've got to stop them before they reach the border and intervene to create manageable groups of people and to provide them with the humanitarian assistance that I think would be appropriate for an America to do, but before they reach the border.
The good news is they're thousands of miles away, so there's time to figure out how you can engage this, because right now we don't know what is the plan of intersection, so to speak, at the U.S. border. I mean, what were the people coming over planning on doing? Were they planning on just walking over? Were they planning on running the gates? I mean, I don't know. But we've got time to intervene. There's ways to do that diplomatically and politically, and it's a bipartisan issue. It's a humanitarian issue too. But you've got to be able to protect the borders, or else it's going to be anarchy. Clyde's calling from California. Go ahead, Clyde. You're on the air.
Hi, thank you. So my question is, are we seeing bipartisan support, particularly in California, with, you know, we know how the leaders here feel about the state. They declared it a sanctuary state. And so how are we seeing Democratic support on this issue, you know, because it's such large in scale?
So far, I don't think there's been much. I mean, Congress is out this week, so it's hard to get a read on it here. And our executive producer, Will Haynes, have we seen any comments from any Democrats or Republicans, that matter, saying what we should do here?
There has been bipartisan discussion from some sides that do not think that the caravan should be able to maintain a status in the United States, but they are using it as an opportunity to score points against President Trump.
But I think the fact that they know that it's not the right thing for the United States, that in other words, you shouldn't have just a caravan arrival, I think is really important on how you move this forward. But, Harry, again, policy matters here, and I think intervention now is critical.
I think you're absolutely correct. So if the Mexican government is unwilling to stop the caravan dead in its tracks, then the United States should engage in efforts to at least break up the caravan into smaller and smaller segments. So when and if the individuals reach the American border, we can intelligently, with a moral clarity, deal with each individual who is trying to cross our border. And then we can separate out true asylum seekers from individuals who are unvetted and who are unwelcome in our country. Clearly, we need to reestablish the notion that borders matter. Borders have consequences, and borders ought to be protected, but maintain our compassionate moral clarity as well.
I agree with Harry, as I usually do, entirely. We do have a moral obligation as the United States of America to treat immigration and migrants and people seeking asylum in the proper fashion. But the word there that's operative is in the proper fashion, and by that I mean in the legal fashion. You come into this country as our grandparents who were European immigrants, for example, Jay's and mine did, in a proper fashion. It may not always be the nicest way, but it's the way that the law of the land should be interpreted and implemented.
Intervention before we have a border confrontation. That's what we're talking about. I'm sure we'll be talking about more of this tomorrow as well. That's going to do it for our broadcast today. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
It has been our mission for nearly 30 years. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. There's not a better time for you to join the American Center for Law and Justice. By standing with us, you can make a tremendous difference in our country and our culture and the ongoing fight for freedom. Become an ACLJ member today. It's easy to do. Just go online, sign up at aclj.org.